Hello and welcome to Better Construction with Sean McStay, the podcast where we discuss design and construction techniques, products, and details that lead to a better built environment. All right, and welcome to this week's episode of Better Construction. This week, I am again joined by Etienne Gubler. Etienne is the CEO North America for SIGA, and we've got a pretty exciting topic to talk about today. So, Etienne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me back. Looking forward to today.
Yeah, well, there's really good response to our top five kind of products or building trends to follow in 2021. And so this time we're going to be talking about something else that's on a lot of people's mind, and that's trade shows. What's going to be happening with trade shows? Where do we think they're going in the future? I think you and I might have a little bit of a different viewpoint on that, so that should be fun to explore as well. Maybe you can lead us off. Where do you think trade shows are going in 2021?
So I think in 2021, trade shows are definitely still continuing the virtual trade show path. I think that's probably the safest bet if you are a trade show operator to do that. I have seen proposals and also shows that have decided to do a hybrid show, and definitely something where, from a vendor perspective, I think this isn't really not ideal. And with in-person, virtual, or hybrid, I mean, it always depends on from whose perspective, right? For the attendee, a participant who could not attend otherwise, virtual or hybrid is amazing, right? From a trade show perspective, where if you say like from a vendor perspective, you would definitely prefer to have no hybrid situation whatsoever, so you can really focus on your audience. Either you focus on the in-person experience or the virtual. I think it's just easier that way, and you would get more traffic for both shows. But if you ask me where they are going, I don't think we are at the point, definitely here in the US, and you can speak better for Canada. We should not do in-person trade shows now and in the upcoming months for sure. And so as a company, we are not signing up to any in-person shows whatsoever for 2021. Moving things around has been kind of intense last year, and you know, chasing money and moving reservations and all of that stuff. And so I think for us, it's really kind of a wait and see for the time being for in-person. What do you think, Sean? What's your take?
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, for 2021, I'm kind of in alignment with what you're saying. I think that virtual is going to be really the only way to go. You know, if you look at Canada specifically, they're saying that hopefully we'll all be vaccinated by kind of the end of fall. So that kind of gives you the last 3 months of the year, maybe, to look at an in-person trade show. But I've also read a lot of things saying that, you know, large group events, whether they be trade shows, concerts, conventions, that type of stuff, even after everyone's vaccinated, it's still going to be a little while before they start allowing those types of things, just because the reality is not every single person's going to choose to or be able to be vaccinated. Some people have health reasons why they can't be. And so I think there's going to have to be kind of a cooling off period before we, you know, really kind of ready to have these larger scale events. I think for me, something that maybe is interesting to look at is, you know, if we were to have removed COVID, if you know, we had that magic wand to be able to have never had it exist, I still think that trade shows were, at least the larger trade shows, were on the way out as of super valuable marketing expense. I think that if you look at the overall money that's being put into them, the return that you get, you know, people's attention, I think that they were kind of facing some challenges already. And some of the bigger trade shows that I'd gone to were definitely looking a little more sparse than they had in years past. And so part of me thinks that this, you know, having this COVID issue has really kind of just hastened the demise of the kind of standard trade show. For you, looking beyond 2021, you know, once say it's safe to have these events again, what do you think are some of the things that trade shows are going to have to learn going forward?
Well, I think that first and foremost, we have to look at why is someone attending a trade show? You know, why should you go out of your way and go? And I think historically, learning about new products has been a very, very important point. You know, being able to see, touch, and feel. I think that product decisions and more importantly, product launches are just not typically done anymore on that channel alone or mainly on that channel, right? I mean, why would you limit yourself with your reach and all your resources and spend tens of thousands of dollars to just reach this audience if you can do much more online for the whole year and do a bigger bang, you know? So I think really the whole digitalization that we have seen in advertising and marketing in general really influences the decision where should we launch a product. So I think for product launch, even though that's for me still the only reason as a manufacturer why I think a trade show is very valuable for us to go to, but I think the way people purchase these days is so different from how it used to be, right? And we have so much more information nowadays. Purchasing decisions are made way earlier. The whole research is done earlier. Often people know almost the same as you do and sometimes more when you meet them at the booth. So I just think it's different. And I think trade shows need to realize that their cash cow is not going to be these vendors who want to get products in front of people. So they can't just be like a store, you know, where you pay me to be on the shelf. I think they really have to transition into adding more value. And we live in a time where experiences are really important. So everyone wants to have a cool experience. So maybe they have an exciting keynote speaker or a star or a celebrity who is being there. Or you know, there are things you can do at the show that are unique. Or what they often do, and I think there's a big kind of transition into just generally away from that trade exhibition floor and towards the conference. So really knowledge. And they become more like knowledge hubs than anything else. So I think, is there a future for trade shows? Yes. What should they do? I think they should really realize that the day will come where manufacturers will not give them these extraordinary amounts of money just to be on a floor where someone walks by, you know, maybe even an unqualified lead for a, you know, 2-minute pitch to may or may not learn really something about your product. Networking is going to be important, the conference and the experience. How do you see that, John?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think that even before we had the shutdown and such, you know, I just went to too many trade shows where you pay all this money to have a booth and you pay a ton of money to have all of your staff there and also opportunity costs to have your staff there manning the booth. They've switched to a little bit more of a hybrid model. There's all these great educational sessions. That's really what people are excited about. But in a lot of ways, the manufacturers are just subsidizing the education sessions and people, you know, maybe walk through during the coffee break, you know, for 10 or 15 minutes. And you might be really lucky if you get their attention for that 5 minutes before, you know, they have to run off to the next session that they need to go to. And I think that, like you said, manufacturers are not going to continue to pay, especially some of these larger trade shows that just, for me, borderline ridiculous amounts of money for a booth. I mean, if you're paying $20,000-$25,000 for a booth, you're paying another $10,000 or $15,000 to have your staff there, plus opportunity cost and all of your marketing materials, plus however much it costs to actually build the booth. You know, a lot of these large trade shows, it's very expensive just to build your booth. You're talking $50,000 or $60,000 possibly by the time you're done. And that's for like a medium-sized manufacturer. Forget the big guys. And with that in mind, I mean, $60,000 on a social media spend or to work with an influencer or to, you know, create an event, like a bespoke event for people to come to. You know, pretty hard to take your leads from the trade show that, like you said, might not even be qualified and compare to what you could do with that money elsewise.
Yeah, 100% agree. And I think you mentioned this. I mean, you really have to think, what else could you do with the money and is it best spent? And I really think with the time you're in where we have so much more data on clients and, you know, we have their emails and we know, but, you know, it's like it's easier for us to communicate with our audience. And it's not like that we need to go to this joint place where we both meet. And it's just so, the game is so different. So yeah, I absolutely agree. with you there. One thing that I always find interesting, and I'm kind of curious what your take is obviously there are like larger national shows and there are a lot of smaller regional shows. And how do you approach selecting which show to go to? I mean, it's fair to say, at least in construction, you could probably go to a show, probably not every day, but easily every week across the country, and you would just be very busy, right?
Yeah.
But how do you navigate through that, and when do you turn something down? Do you have kind of like a selection criteria, what you go to as a vendor and then also as a participant?
Yeah, I mean, as a vendor, I mean, for us, you know, we have a fairly niche client base. And so I'm always curious, you know, are the people who are building these better construction, high performance buildings going to be attending this show? And then, you know, are the decision makers for those buildings actually going to be attending this show, or do they just send kind of the young people there to learn, which is great. And that there's value for that. But as a person who's, you know, has a fiscal responsibility to a company, I have a hard time justifying, you know, 2 days worth of time to kind of educate people on stuff that's on our website. So are the decision makers going to be there? What type of networking opportunities are there? That's huge. I mean, I would say for the last probably year or two, before the COVID issue came up, the networking at the trade shows was far more valuable than the actual time in the booth. And, you know, it was rare to find another time that you had that many people all together in one spot who are able to make decisions. So from a vendor standpoint, you know, return on investment with an eye towards, you know, where the decision maker is actually going to go, that's normally what I would focus on. That tended to lead me to smaller shows, more specific shows, maybe supporting a certain organization, like, say, Passive House or, you know, Boots on the Ground out east in Canada does great work with both Passive House and High Performance, you know, very specific for our niche. As a participant, to answer the second part of your question, interestingly, almost entirely determined by the quality of the speakers, the quality of the educational opportunities, and other than to maybe see if some competitors were there to go and learn a little bit about what they're doing, I almost never cared who's actually exhibiting at the show. It's again, who else is going to be there, and what are the learning opportunities and networking opportunities? And I think that in itself kind of shows the value of the exhibit floor. I mean, I think you brought it up earlier, but it bears repeating. Customers, potential clients, are so much better educated now than they were 10 or 15 years ago. Because we have so much information available online and, you know, through social media and different avenues. I mean, when I very first started in sales, I sold interior doors, and I had people phoning me regularly at the order desk saying, okay, what sizes does this door come in? What colors does this door come in? You know, all these kind of basic things. Now that position doesn't really even exist. They can just go online and look it up. And it's the same thing for most products, I think. Even when you get to a product like the one that we sell, Sega is more technical. There's still a lot of learning they can do before they come and talk to you, and then they're going to have their specific questions. So I think overall, to answer your question, it's how I pick the trade show is pretty determined based on who's going to be there, and that's not always easy to figure out. You know, for you, I kind of would ask you the same question. How do you determine, because you make the decision on some of these larger shows that are very large investment. What are you looking for as a return to make that big investment? Like, if I was someone telling you about a trade show, what would you want to hear?
I mean, we would definitely start with the audience, you know, and these trade shows, they collect this and have been collecting for years. You know, how many architects do they have there? What kind of position are these project manager owners? You know, like what kind of positions do these people have? And so this is an important one. So I can kind of classify this as an architect-oriented homeowner, maybe a builder-oriented show. And so depending on what my message is, and that's the next factor, what is my message? You know, do I have a new product? Well, who do I want to show it to? You know, what do I want to get out there? And based on that, I would pick a show. If you don't have a message, don't go to a show. I think that's really a big point. You know, just to be there, I mean, go and attend, yes, but you don't necessarily need to be an exhibitor unless you have something to show for, right? I think for us, another factor is the location. right? And I mean, that's very, it makes a lot of sense. If you understand what our setup is, we are focusing in North America on like five key regions. So if the show is outside of the region, I would most likely not exhibit there, because no matter what the data tells you, the fact is just the shows draw the majority of local crowds. So it's usually local, not, you know, and so therefore it's like, well, it doesn't make sense to start business if you do not want to, or you're not set up to, you know, fully support a certain region. So audience, location, the message is said, and one other thing that I want to say, though, at least as a participant, because this is something that I've started to do over the last 3 years, it needs a little bit of courage, at least as a vendor, to say, no, I'm not exhibiting. There is this fear of missing out. But it was really good for me to attend. And it brings up this one thing. I've learned over the last 3 years, the conversations I have with existing partners or even new clients, potential clients, are so much better if I'm a participant. And just because it removes my badge where it's just exhibitor and I'm like this salesperson and we both go into this role where, you know, one is the seller, one is the buyer, and you get into this pitch mode and whatever. It's just, it's very natural that you go there, or they're a little bit on the defense because they feel like maybe want something from them or whatever. If you're a participant, you're just there and you have lunch with John, and John and you start to really talk and both relax, and you know, it doesn't feel like this pressure around that now you need to do business just because he walks up on your booth or something like that, right? So I just realized from a networking point of view and also from a business point of view, once you have a certain recognition or you know some people and they start to introduce you to the network, it's totally fine to skip a year and be brave and just, you know, participate. And so you will actually learn what the conference is truly about. Because if you stand in your booth during lunch breaks and you just wait for these 2 minutes of contact, and then during the show, the booth is empty, no one is there, like you don't really know what's going on and you can't speak the language. So, I hope I could answer that and a little more.
Yeah, no, I mean, that makes a ton of sense. And I mean, I think I'm kind of... you know, thinking the same way as well, especially when it comes to that kind of interaction at the booth. I find that, you know, a lot of people now, especially of the younger generation, really don't like to walk into a trade show booth. They feel like they're going to be, you know, get that hard sale, or they have to give something. And so I've seen tons and tons of people, they just walk by the booth and their eyes are kind of down and they maybe try and see what you have. And they're expecting that kind of hard sale. And I think that that's becoming less and less effective as people kind of need the salespeople less. One thing that you brought up, though, that is a huge point for me, and I think for a lot of people who listen to this podcast, is where the trade show is located. Because travel, I mean, I've spent the last 15 years up until 2020, the last 15 years of my life, a lot of time on airplanes, you know, 2-3 times a month sometimes. And didn't really put a huge amount of thought into it other than, you know, making sure that it was fiscally responsible, the trips. But now, I mean, the last couple of years, we really started to pay attention to the environmental impact of air travel, especially. And for me, I mean, the carbon impact of flying to Toronto for a trade show, I live in Vancouver, so flying to Toronto is, you know, halfway across the country. You know, a return flight to Toronto economy is like just over 1 ton of carbon emissions. So, I mean, that's a massive amount. That's double the amount that you're supposed to have in an entire year if we want to stop climate change. And even if you look at kind of where we are average, I think Canada averages like 15 tons per person. The U.S. is around the same, which is very high compared to the rest of the world. Switzerland's like 4.5. But even if you look at that 15 as an average person and you're on 2 flights a month, 12 months a year, I mean, you're skewing that average up so high. I looked it up actually before the call because I wanted to see like, what does it take to get rid of a ton of carbon? And it said that you need 16 trees, 16 seedlings growing for 10 years to eliminate that 1 ton of carbon. So one return trip to Toronto, 10 years of 16 trees growing. So for me, you know, can we eliminate all air travel? Absolutely not. I mean, it's just part of our jobs. We have to go to places. But can we be a bit more selective about how we travel and when and why? I think that that leads us back full circle to what we were talking about at the beginning, where you have these virtual opportunities for at least the exhibition part of the trade show. The in-person networking and a little bit the hands-on with the products, that's still a bit tricky to solve. But the carbon impact is kind of undeniable at this point.
Yeah, and I think, you know, 2020 has really taught us that we, so first of all, you know, we can do business in very different ways, and we can do a lot remote, right? And I think that really we were forced to make a big digital jump in 2020 just to continue. And everything worked well, you know. I mean, there, for some businesses, they have a hard time and they can't really go digital, and others, the transition was very smooth. Interestingly, at least from a supplier perspective, the transition worked very well for us. And I think what you just mentioned is absolutely true. I mean, the amount of business travel that we have seen previous COVID has been enormous, and it has been even going up. And, you know, it was kind of coupled with this huge appetite for leisure travel, and people were just like traveling all over, right? And I really hope going forward that businesses are really letting employees stay from home more. So the you know, working from home, working remotely, it works. You know, people are happier. It makes a lot of long-term business sense. It's so much cheaper if you work from home than if I rent you an office, right? So there are definitely some pros. How it will work long-term with a team and how that's going to develop, I mean, maybe that's a little bit to be determined. But bringing it back to kind of the trade show, the travel, the carbon footprint that we have, I think from that perspective, it's clear. But then, once again, my big message or wish is, let's not go hybrid. Let's then just go virtual if possible. You know, make it easy. Make a level playing field for everyone, as level as you can get. And as an organizer, I wouldn't want to go through, you know, managing digital, which is a challenge, and managing in person. It's just double the work that you have, right?
Oh yeah, and I mean, we've seen that with even, like, you know, if you look at like a Zoom call, which is pretty ubiquitous now. If you have, you know, three people in a room as part of the call, and then three people joining in virtually, the call just doesn't go nearly as well if you just put all six people virtually, because then it's kind of an even communication field. One last topic that I wanted to bring up that's related to all of this is that I think is an opportunity going forward for the companies that put on trade shows, and for new companies to spring up, is content creation, like curated content creation. Because when you look at it, what a trade show is trying to sell to a supplier or a company is an experience for the customer to learn about their product. And I think that we have so many digital tools available now, and there's all these influencers out there who are doing a fantastic job of showing us how to do it. For people to have that kind of experience and learn about the product virtually. And so I'm curious for you, do you see an increasing role in this type of content creation as part of the marketing budget? And what type of options, I guess, would you want to see for that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I'm a big fan of content. I mean, content is the currency of the internet, and it's really important for companies to create it. We mentioned the trend that consumers are more informed, and if you create and control the information or the source of their information, right, you can really steer the conversation, which is good in a business sense. You would like to be, you know, kind of the Kleenex or whatever, kind of the authority for a certain topic or subject you are in. One thing I was just thinking about was a conversation that a few years ago at a trade show. It was a passive house trade show. I really liked it, and it was a fantastic trade show. It was like just 2 days of awesomeness and amazing speakers. But I spoke with some of the organizers after and said, "Listen, this was an amazing show, but I'm really sad." And they were like, "Why are you sad?" I said, "Well, because I just had this amazing feast and now I need to starve for a full year until you kind of spoil me again. Why don't you feed me on a little bit more regular basis, you know? And I think that's where I see traders have an opportunity going forward. Instead of just doing this one big bang, how about you make quality content? Maybe you use your brand or whatever it is. You become like education centers, academy. I mean, why not an IBS academy? You know, which obviously IBS is a show of the National Home Builders Association. So there is. I mean, they have their programs too. But I'm just thinking about this is one idea where I feel like maybe we can split it. Maybe there is a different way of. Hey, now I need three days, 4 days, and you have to travel and so on and so forth. What's your take on that, John?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. And I think some trade shows have kind of done that a little bit over the past 12 months, you know, where it's instead of having like a 4 day solid trade show, they've had like, you know, a 3 hours in the morning every Tuesday for a month. And, you know, had the educational opportunities kind of spread out over a little bit. I think that there's a model there for maybe even something like a subscription service where people subscribe to learning opportunities for the different industries. You know, if you want to call it the Netflix of construction, whatever you want to call it. But people subscribe to it. There's learning opportunities continuing, ongoing. Plus, you can stream old ones. And then suppliers get to have, you know, ads there and have, again, create content that's valuable and put it in front of the people who want to learn about products and techniques and such. So I think that there's a pretty massive opportunity with what you're saying for that.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, just the last point, it's just kind of, I was thinking about that. I think a lot of the money that was used for trade shows nowadays, or some of it at least, and also in our case, is spent now on influencers. Because it's just a strong message if someone, you know, it can be someone famous or just generally someone is using your product. I mean, you never know if he actually bought it, right? That's the bit. And you don't know if he's get paid for it. So that's always a little bit the unclear thing about, you know, someone using it. But that's a really, really big testament to your product and can spread the word out there like crazy. I mean, a trade show has, depending on the show, some have maybe 1,000, some have 10,000, the very big ones, maybe 100,000 people who walk by. Not everyone's going to walk by your booth, right? Some of these influencers have 100,000 million views on what they are doing. So if you think about that, right, there is definitely a big, big potential to collaborate with influencers or podcasts or whatever it is, right, to kind of partner up. So
Yeah, I totally agree. So as I get towards the end of my episodes, I typically ask a few questions. You've been on the show 3 times now, and I haven't asked you this question yet, so I'm going to. Personal interest question for me. I read and collect a lot of books. If you were to recommend a book right now, personal, professional, it's your choice. Which one would you recommend at the moment?
That's a good one. Well, I mean, I'm just going to grab right over here. Unprepared. I'm actually reading this. It's Harvard Business Reviews, the Harvard Must Reads 2021. It's kind of a collection of short studies. I like those reads because these are always kind of summaries of what they found out during a study. I'm reading right now about feedback, which is very interesting. And so far, what I've learned is that negative feedback, even as meant as an improvement, is not effective at all. And, you know, so anyways, I'm kind of midway. So I love books like that. So I would say for today, it's the 2020 Must Reads by Harvard.
Awesome. Well, again, Etienne, I really want to say thank you and appreciate you taking the time to be on the show. For everyone listening and watching, of course, you can check out what Etienne's doing over on BuildTight on Instagram. Also, feel free to follow him on LinkedIn. He posts a lot of interesting articles, both about SIGA and then also just about management in general. And with that, I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Perfect. Thanks, Sean.
All right. Thanks, guys, for listening to this week's episode of Better Construction. I really appreciate you taking the time to do so. If you have any questions for myself or the guest, you feel free to reach out on social media or on the website at www.betterconstructionmedia.com. And with that, we'll talk again next time.